want to talk about God.
Shock, right? No, you did not. Go away.
There was some research done, I think it was around 2009. So they were, I think, like 18 to 25, that kind of age bracket. They asked them piles of questions, obviously, as you do in these sorts of things. And what they kind of found in general, their descriptor of kind of American youth at that stage, their attitude towards God, they described it as moralistic, therapeutic deism. Now, the young people didn't explain it as that. What's your take on God?
I kind of have a moralistic, therapeutic, deistic point of view, if you know what I'm talking about.
Like that would be rare. That's a rare young person right there. So they didn't say that, but they said that. Unconscious maybe of the philosophical standpoint they were taking. But so what does that mean? Moralistic, meaning it's all about do good and avoid evil. That's the main thing. Do good, avoid evil. Also just kind of in the whole sense of like, oh, God he's all about that bottom line of behavior. That's kind of where it starts and that's where it kind of ends. That's one thing that's very interesting. The second thing is therapeutic. This means God is going to help me with stuff. So I have to like do the right stuff and avoid doing anything that's going to annoy God. Hopefully I can get a little something out of it. And that kind of viewing a relationship with God as, well, I do it, you know, because I get stuff out of it in terms of therapy, in terms of, you know, fixing some of my stuff. And then deism is just like, you know, a belief in God. But it also, in general, the whole thing, it's interesting because it's quite far, I think, certainly from where God would want us to be. So maybe some of those factors are kind of first, like the therapeutic thing, am I in it for me? Is that my primary reason for having God in my life? Like, because I really need him. We do really need him. Like, I really need him. That's what keeps me coming back big time. Like, oh, I need you. I'm a mess. But if it stays there, then it's in danger of staying in a very selfish sort of a place, right? Any relationship where you're primarily in it for yourself, unless you're like less than 3 years old. Let's say less than 7 years. No, let's say less than 16 years old. I don't know. But you get my picture. Now, I wanted to contrast that, this moralistic, therapeutic deism, with something I read recently in St. Alphonsus Liguori, the founder of the Redemptorists. One of the books of his that I took a look at one point was his book to spiritual directors on how to be a spiritual director. You know, because I was studying in the seminary and I was like, oh, I'm going to have to spiritually direct people. Better find out how to do this. And he had a couple of really interesting things in there. But he basically says the goal is you want to try and help them to make a total gift of themselves to God. Beautiful. That's pretty different from moralistic therapeutic deism, right? Like, oh, God, don't mess up. God's going to be angry. That kind of stuff. And well, if I do this and I'll get this. Transactional, you know, I'm in it for myself kind of attitude. But like so different. Like, I just want to give myself to you, God. When I read it, I was like, oh, yes, that's right. I forgot about that. I can so easily slip into a selfish way of relating to God. And I can spend like a whole day of prayer. And it's actually all about me. And sometimes that's okay. And God loves me and he loves you. So he's okay when we bring our needs. He loves when we bring our needs, in fact. But I don't want to stay there. And sometimes when I have like the most difficult days, the most when my needs are like rawr, and I'm really struggling, sometimes the thing that brings me the most relief and transformation is just putting him first, just praising him, thanking him. As St. Paul puts it, that he says that we live for the praise of his glory. We would learn to make a total gift of ourselves because that's what's going to give him so much glory, that he's a father who loves to look after his kids. And that's a father's job. It's his job to look after us. But what a joy for a father, for a mother, when their kids start to give back, not because they feel this, oh, better or else, but because they really love you and they're overflowing with gratitude. It's like, wow. I wonder what that's like for a parent. Kind of the day the kid realizes, whoa, like the sacrifices you made for us. And yes, you weren't perfect. And we're going to talk about that. But wow, everything our parents gave up for us. It's a beautiful thing. That's something of God's heart, I believe, of the Father's heart, that he longs for the best for us. He longs, and what's the best? The best is to be like God. He longs for us to be like himself in the true, most beautiful, completely entered into all that you are. Completely entered into this place of freedom. That's not just freedom so I can receive and bathe in a pool of goat's milk or whatever. That's such a strange image. I believe I got that from Cleopatra or something. She used to do that. That I be free not just to receive. I be free in order to do something, in order to give, in order to live for the praise of his glory. How beautiful is that? And just to see, because what we want to be living rightly. We want to be living freely. We want to be entering into all the freedom that he has for us. And a big part of that is making the shift away from this moralistic therapeutic deism, which is a great start. Great start. But it's not the fullness of the loving, childlike relationship we're called to have with our Heavenly Father. It might have an extra bonus of some therapeutic aspects. Yes, there are moral implications, but to make those the be-all and the end-all of this relationship that will go on for all eternity and that is best described by the most loving of fathers towards his most loved of children falls incredibly short. So let's not miss that one, because that is really great.